Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Faith and works. Protestants claim if you have grace and faith, you don't need to keep any commandments. Catholics say you need to follow the traditions that are in their catechisms. Jews say, we don't need the New Testament, we have our own traditions. And we saw what it was like in a synagogue, where they have the scroll behind a closet with two curtains that close over. And then through their ritual and through what they do, they bring it out and they unroll it. And they say, this is the most holy thing. Now, the Word of God is the most holy thing, but not the scroll, not the paper. And why put it in a closet and close it up? Why shouldn't everyone in the congregation of a synagogue have the written word so they can follow it? But of course, since they don't have the New Testament, they only have half of it, because they reject Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and the teachings of the New Testament, and reject them to this day. Now, there are some Jews who are called Messianic Jews, and they've come to an understanding of Jesus and claim to follow him. But one of the problems with that is they still have the traditions. So, those traditions equal works. Now, we are going to see that God judges us on our works, and that everyone has their own belief and their own works, even if they don't believe in God or the Bible. Is that not true of atheists? They have their beliefs, and they have the things that they do. Satanists who worship Satan have their beliefs, and an idol of Satan to bow down to and proclaim that they have freedom. And all of these things become very, very confusing. So let's learn some biblical truth so we can come to a right understanding of faith and works, because we will see both are required. Now, let's come to James, the second chapter, verse 18. But someone is going to say, you have faith and I have works. Now, that's exactly what Judaism would do and say, and Catholicism would do, and so Protestantism. But the Protestants would say, we don't need works because we have grace and faith. But we're going to see you cannot have faith without works. Let's continue. My answer is, you prove your faith to me, James writes, through your works, and I will prove my faith to you through my works. Now, that's the correct translation of it. Now, why is it translated that way? Because everyone has works. Even those who claim they don't have works, that is their works, because they do something based upon what they believe. And what they believe is called faith. Verse 19, do you believe that God is one? Now, there are a lot of people who say, well, I believe in God. Do you really? Do you know God? Do you know his word? Do you follow what he teaches? Do you keep his commandments? So if you believe there is a God, how is your life compared to that belief? Let's continue. Do you believe that God is one? You do well to believe this. Even the demons believe and tremble in fear. Now, the demons are the rebellious angels that followed Satan the devil in his rebellion and war against God. And in that war, they wanted to displace God and rule the universe their way. So, believing that, they believed Satan, they followed him, and they lost. So there are demons on the earth, and demons like to come and get you to believe things that are not true. So, if you believe there's one God, or believe there is a God, but yet it goes no further than that, well, you're not even as good as the demons because they tremble in fear. Verse 20, but are you willing to understand, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now, that's quite a statement. Now, we know when we read Revelation 2 and 3 that God says of every one of the seven churches, he doesn't start out and say, I know your faith. No, he starts out and says, I know your works. See? So we're going to see that there are two kinds of works. Works of true faith and works of false faith. Whether it is a false religion or your own standard that you have for yourself. Faith without works is dead. So then he uses the example of Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his own son upon the altar? And you can read that back in Genesis 22. And that has a great deal of meaning and a precursor for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years later. But that's another topic we'll get into later. But he obeyed God. And when he did that, the angel then called out to Abraham, do nothing to the lad. Now, let's look at that account in Genesis 22, because this becomes very important. Because God told him to do something, and he obeyed the voice of God. Now, that's something else you need to understand about faith. But let's see what happened when he did what God said, and then spared Isaac, his son. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, that was a tremendous thing to happen. So what about your life? Do you fear God to obey him, his voice? Verse 16, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Now, is that important? Yes. Now, what do we have today? We had one of the most marvelous things that you could have. we have the complete Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. And these things are given so that we can learn of God, we can learn of His commandments, we can learn of His faith, we can learn of His truth, and we don't have to rely upon men pretending to represent God. And the way you tell the difference is this: the one who is from God speaks the words of God. And we know how Jesus condemned the traditions of the Jews, which means that condemns likewise the traditions of the Catholics and also the traditions of the Protestants. Come back here to James, the second chapter. Very important verse. Because if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but you don't love Him and obey Him, you don't believe in Him. That is a profession. A profession is not a belief. A belief then will bring action. And action then is described as works. Verse 22. Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? They go together. You can't have one without the other. And by works, his faith was perfected. Isn't that something? Does God want us to be perfected? Of course. But we have our part in it, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, now Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. You need both. You need faith and you need works. What kind of works does God want us to have? He wants us to have the works that are responding to Him in love and obedience. Now let's come to Mark, the 12th chapter. Now, if you profess to believe in God, all right, and if you profess to believe in Jesus Christ, that's fine, but how do you live? And what is your relationship with God? Well, you say, well, I believe in the only begotten Son of God so that I may have eternal life. All right. What are your works toward that? Are they your works that you devise, the traditions of men which they have devised, or are they the works from the Word of God? So let's read about the great commandment of God. You must have that belief, and that belief must have works. It's not just an ethereal thought in your head. It's not a feeling in your heart. It's not something that you do of your own, because in order to do what we're going to cover here in Mark 12, you need to come to God in repentance. And repenting of your sins, which are the transgressions of the laws and commandments of God. And all the laws and commandments of God hang on these two laws that we're going to read of in Mark, the 12th chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 28. Now, Jesus always had confrontations with the scribes and Pharisees because they wanted to keep all of their traditions, all of their sacrifices, everything that they did. They weren't willing to repent of their sins, give up those things which are the man-made instructions, and to obey the voice of God. So here's a scribe. After hearing them reasoning together and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all. And this is what we need to live by. This is the whole foundation of everything that we do in true Christianity. Original Christianity. Not the fake Christianity that's in the world with ministers who say the law is done away because you can't do away with it any more than you can do away with the law of gravity. So let's read it. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel. Now you put your name there, and I want you to ask yourself, are you doing this? And this is what God wants from all of those who believe him, all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Here it is right here. Our one God is the Lord, and that's true. God the Father and Jesus Christ. They're both God. They're both Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now think about that. That means your whole heart. So what he's talking about here is that the love of God that we are to have involves everything that we have, that we function as human beings. With all your heart, with all your soul. Now your soul then represents the whole body because that's what keeps the physical body going. There's no such thing as an immortal soul. And with all your mind. Now, that's quite a thing, isn't it? With all your mind. What occupies your mind? What's in your mind? What occupies your mind? I think of this every time I hear these cars going down the street, and they have the windows rolled down, and the music is blasting and vibrating the whole community as they go down the street. That's their God. And that's what's on their mind. What do you put in your mind? What do you think of most of all? See, with all your mind. And with all your strength. And that means in everything that you do. This is the first commandment. Or protos. The primary commandment. And the second one is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Then we find in Matthew 22 that Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the first commandment. Do you do this? Let's see about this. Let's come to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let's see the whole purpose of what is called the New Testament and using the Spirit of God. Hebrews 10. Now, this is important. This is not taught in Catholicism or Protestantism or Judaism because they, in Judaism, leave out Christ. And you cannot have the full truth of God without the true Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, in Catholicism, they have a fake Jesus and a fake conversion. And likewise with Protestantism. And how do we know that? How can we prove that? Well, you heard me say it many, many times, so I'm going to say it again. It's the second commandment and the fourth commandment. Second commandment, don't make any idols, don't bow down and worship them. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those two commandments cut to the quick everything that Protestantism and Catholicism stand for. Because they fail to do what is claimed, written, for our admonition right here in Hebrews 10. Now, at the first of the chapter, he says, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Then he says, he talks about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and that we are to receive the Holy Spirit. So let's pick it up here in verse 14, talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because if you profess Jesus Christ, you believe in his sacrifice, but you also have to believe in his resurrection, and you have to believe that he is active in the world today, and that he's the head of his church. And his church will be those, as we will see, who keep the commandments of God. That's what it says. Revelation 14:12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep his commandments and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that's an amazing statement, isn't it? Commandment keeping and faith. If you have faith, you will have commandment keeping. And if you have commandment keeping, you can have faith. But faith must come first, and faith must undergird everything that you do. And that begins with the first and primary commandment of loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. For by one offering, that is Christ's sacrifice, he has obtained eternal perfection for those who were sanctified. But that perfection doesn't come in the flesh. That perfection comes at the resurrection. Little sidebar, no one goes to heaven. It's the resurrection. Now, verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts and inscribe them in their minds. That's what the first and primary commandment will do. Do you do that? Okay. Let's see what else it will do. Because if you love God, it's going to make you do something. Not only make you do it, it isn't going to force you to do it. You will want to do it. You will desire to do it. And we find this in 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 2. Because it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. Right? Verse 2. By this standard, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments by faith. See, it takes faith to keep the commandments. It takes faith to keep the Sabbath. It takes faith to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. No, they're not. Now, maybe if you're so wrapped up in the world, it may look like a burden to you to do them. But when you repent and baptize and receive the Holy Spirit of God, you will find that that burden of sin will be lifted from you. And your sins will be forgiven. But you can't have the simple little statement that is given like Franklin Graham gives. That is not even a start. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's why God doesn't want any idols. God doesn't want any traditions of men, teachings of men, but the truth of God. So you see how all the religions that people think that come from God really don't come to God. because they do not yield to him and do his will. Because Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So you must have faith and works, and both of them will produce a spiritual result in your life once you repent and are baptized. So remember to write in for what is meant by the works of the law. Write in for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? Now we have another one, which is a threefold in-depth study, the grace of God. And the one you need first is the grace of God and commandment keeping. Those do not fight each other. They work together. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.